Well, thank you. I want to thank all of you for coming today. Especially, I'd like to thank our pastors, Dave and Karen Brooks, for giving me the opportunity to share from God's Word this morning that I have been thinking about for quite some time. And the more I think about it, the more excited that I become about this particular topic that I'm going to share today on, called How to Overcome Fear. Also, I'd like to thank you for coming and listening to me. And also, there are some of my friends are here today, and I just want to thank you for coming. I appreciate it. So, in how to overcome fear, because all of us have different fears in our life, and I'm not talking about the kind of fear that has to do with respect or reverence or adoration for God. I'm talking about the fear that keeps us timid, fear that keeps us from being what we want to be or becoming who we want to become. For instance, there are people that have fear about going to school, witnessing, communicating with people, public speaking, playing music. I don't know what particular fear or what you might have that's holding you back or keeping you from doing or becoming what you want to become, but God does know. God knows your heart. And the truth is, God wants to help us. And someone is going to read Psalm 34:4, please. I gave some verses to some people, and yes, go right ahead. Yes, and King James says, I sought the Lord and he heard me and delivered me from all my fears. In Genesis 15:1, God said to Abraham, fear not. Exodus 14, verses 13 and 14. Moses said to the children of Israel, fear not. Judges 6:23, God told Gideon, fear not. And if you know that particular record, Gideon had 300 men. That is a great record to read sometime on how to overcome fear. Joshua 1:9 and 8:1, God told Joshua, be not afraid, fear not. And as we know, Joshua at that point was going into the land of Canaan to wipe out the giants who had taken over the land and were terrorizing God's people. Proverbs 29:25.
Fear of man will prove to be a snare, but whoever trusts in the Lord is kept safe.
That's right. The fear of man bringeth a snare, but whoso putteth his trust in the Lord shall be safe. And that is exactly what happens to us when we have fear of doing what we want to do. It's like a snare. We're trapped. We're enslaved in our minds. And the more fear that we have, the more that we convince ourselves not to do what we want to become or what God wants us to accomplish. So it's like a snare. But what does the rest of that verse say? It says, whoso putteth his trust in the Lord shall be safe. Look at 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7. It's a verse. Someone has that verse for me out there. Who did I give that to? 2 Timothy. Well, 2 Timothy 1, 7 says, for God hath not given us the spirit of being timid. The King James says, God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. And in the NIV, that word fear there is timid. God has not given us, he doesn't want us to be timid about the promises and the things that God has made available to us. He wants us to go out and claim them because we have power and we have been given them by God. And God wants to see us achieve what we want to become. He loves us. He'll do anything for us. We can't allow the world to convince us in our minds to be less than the best and less than what we want to become. Psalm 34:4. Someone has that verse. Did I give that some? That's right. That's right. Psalm 34:4. I sought the Lord and he heard me and delivered me from all my fears. That is a tremendous promise in the Word. I would not have to talk any more about fear. We could close our Bibles and go home if we walk out and believe that verse. God will deliver you from your fears. Whatever it is that you want to accomplish, God wants to see you there. We cannot allow the world to convince us that we are less than the best. Just because the whole world lieth in wickedness, it has control over us, because the Bible says we shine as lights in the world. So I'm going to go to what I consider the greatest record in the Bible about how to overcome fear. Well, in my opinion, it's the greatest record. But before I do, since the record has to do with the story of David and Goliath, I wanted to give a little bit of background on Goliath and the giants and a little bit of what it talks about. So if you can go in your Bibles to Genesis chapter 6, verse 1. I have this size of a Bible because my eyes are, I need new glasses, but I don't have a problem reading this Bible. Chapter 6, verse 1. When men began to increase in number on the earth and daughters were born to them, the sons of God saw the daughters of men were beautiful, and they married any of them they chose. Then the Lord said, "My spirit will not contend with man forever, for he is mortal, yet his days will be 120 years. Verse 4, the Nephilim, and King James translates that giants, and the reason the NIV translator has left it the Nephilim is because they really didn't know what to do with that word. The Nephilim were on the earth in those days before the flood, and also afterward, after the flood, when the sons of God went to the daughters of men and had children by them. They were heroes of old, men of renown. The Lord saw how great man's wickedness on the earth had become, and that every inclination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil all the time." Now, that's not the way that it is in the world today. You know, the world isn't that way. Every thought of man's heart, even if people who don't believe in the Bible, they're not evil all the time. That is the degradation and the state of where the world had become in that particular situation. And that, we're going to find out, is the reason that God sent the flood. Sure. Sure. I will. All right. All right. So so the Nephilim, what the word Nephilim means is fallen ones. And you can look this up. Time does not allow in this particular teaching to go into this in great depth. It would take 5 or 6 hours to truly teach and share from the Bible all the ramifications of what happened, why the flood came, what was going on after the flood. The children of Israel, you know, it wasn't by coincidence. Of all the places on the earth that the giants go to take over, they camp in the land promised to the children of Israel, promised by God. And if you remember the record there, the children of Israel, where Moses was leading them after they came out of Egypt, they went to the land, they sent in 10 spies. The spies came back and said, in fact, Pastor Brooks was sharing on this the other week, the spies were like, 8 of the 10 spies said, "No way." Numbers 11:33. Does someone have that verse? I gave that to someone. Gary.
Just 33?
32 and 33. Exactly. We were like grasshoppers in their sight. So this race had taken, the race of giants had taken over the land, and Moses, God told Moses, "Go in there and get those guys off your property. I gave all that land to you." And the spies came back when they had gone in there and they said, "No way, we're not going in there and fighting those people. They're too big. They're of great stature. Their cities are huge." In fact, sometime there was a pastor who went in the 1800s over to Bashan. And there are 60 giant cities in Bashan. And he talks about the size of the cities and just the construction that was still the remnant of that construction that was there. So they went in and they said, they came back and Joshua and Caleb were like, "Yeah, let's go. We'll go in. We can do it. It's our land." And the people, the other spies that came back, they convinced God's people. And so God got upset about that. And that's why the children of Israel wandered in the desert for 40 years before then God allowed Joshua to go into the land and basically take back the land. Look at Deuteronomy chapter 3, verse 11. I'm just going to touch on a few of these verses here. Deuteronomy chapter 3, verse 11. Deuteronomy 3, verse 11 says, "Only Og, king of Bashan, was left of the remnant of the Raphites," which King James translates Raphites, giants, Raphites, Rapha. That was one of this line of giants. Listen to this. "His bed was made of iron, and was more than 13 feet long and 6 feet wide. It is still in Rabbah of the Amorites. So at the time that Moses penned Deuteronomy, that bed was still around at that time. Look at 2 Samuel 2:20. 2 Samuel. 1 and 2 Samuel. 1 and 2 Kings. 2 Samuel. 2:20. Mm-hmm. 2:20. That's where I'm going. 2 Samuel. Oh, 21:20. I'm sorry. 2 Samuel 21:20. That's a few chapters away. 21:20. All right. 21:20. Here's what it says. Listen to this. In still another battle. This is where the children of Israel, led by Joshua, are getting these people off God's people's property. In still another battle, which took place at Gath, there was a huge man with 6 fingers on each hand and 6 toes on each foot, 24 in all. He was descended from Rapha. When he taunted Israel, Jonathan, the son of Shimei, David's brother, killed him. So he was also of the giants. Now, look at 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 4 and 5. I'm just giving you a few verses here to give you a little bit of background on this subject of the giants. You're going to have to read the Bible. You're going to have to study it on your own. You're going to have to go and look at this. It is a fabulous topic throughout the Bible. And the great thing about it is when you're finished, I've been studying this topic for more than 10 years. And the thing that's so great about off and on, the thing that's so great, I better put that in there. The thing that's so great about it is the more that you read about it and you find out what happened, the more that you are going to see the great love that God has for his people. It's unbelievable what God does. And there are verses in the Bible that will open up to you and you'll have understanding at. For instance, I know one girl who said she would stop being a Christian because she could not understand how God would tell the people to go, the warriors to go in and kill the men, the women, and even the children and the animals and all these kind of things. But the thing that she doesn't understand and is that it was the most loving thing that God could do because it was an aberrant race that was set up by Satan. And the reason it was done was to keep Jesus Christ from coming. It was an outright attack on the Christ line to keep Christ from being born. Therefore, if Satan can stop Jesus Christ from being born by screwing up the genetics, then we could not have the freedom that we have in this day and time to walk forth. 1 John 4:4, greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. We do not have anything to fear about. We do not have to fear. We have so much power because of what Jesus Christ has made available to us by what he accomplished. Let's see, 2 Peter 2. 2 Peter 2. Second Peter, that's at the back of the Bible. 2 Peter 2, verses 4 and 5. Listen to this. For if God did not spare angels when they sinned, but sent them to hell... And that verse, hell, is the Greek word Tartarus. It's the only place in the Bible that verse appears, which is significant. Putting them into gloomy dungeons to be held for judgment. If he did not spare the ancient world when he brought the flood on its ungodly people, but protected Noah, a preacher of righteousness, and 7 others. Look at Jude 6. These are just a few of the verses that talk about this particular topic. And the reason I'm mentioning this to you is when we get to Samuel 17, David and Goliath, it'll give you a finer appreciation of the great love that God has for us and how God wants us to be able to overcome our fear. Listen to this, Jude 6. And the angels who did not keep their positions of authority, but abandoned their own home or habitation. These he has kept in darkness, bound with everlasting chains for judgment on that great day. Look at 1 Peter chapter 3. 1 Peter chapter 3. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 18 and 19. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 18 and 19. For Christ died for sins once for all, the righteousness for the unrighteousness, to bring you to God. He was put to death in the body, but made alive by the Spirit, through whom also he went and preached to the spirits in prison who had disobeyed long ago when God waited patiently in the days of Noah. God waited patiently in the days of Noah while the ark was being built. In it, only a few people, eight in all, were saved through water, etc., etc. So it talks about that. Jesus preached unto the spirits in prison. The word preached is the word caruso, and it was something like this. You gave up your freedom to keep me from coming. You have lost. And by the way, I'll be back. That's right. You gave up your freedom to keep me from coming. They tried to wipe out the Christ line to keep Jesus Christ from coming, because if Jesus Christ would not have been able to come, then the promise in Genesis 3:15 would not come true, where God promised to send a Redeemer after Adam and Eve blew it in the Garden of Eden. And some people say the Bible's boring. Joshua 11:22, one more verse. Do you have that, Nora? Joshua 11:22. Aha, only at those three cities, and one of those cities was Gath, where now, please go to 1 Samuel 17. 1 Samuel 17. So, 1 Samuel 17. This record, there are so many principles in this record on how to overcome fear. We're going to talk about a few of them. But one of the main things is that in any situation in our lives when we want to accomplish something, I don't know, maybe you want to be a doctor. Well, you can't just go suddenly stick your sign in the front of your office and go, hey, I'm a doctor. There are things that you have to do, as you know, to get to be a doctor or to achieve things that you want to achieve. Well, you have to go to college. You have to go to medical school. You have to do these things. But you know what? God wants you to have the desires of your heart. Psalm 37:4, delight thyself in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of your heart. God wants us to have those things. Yes. Psalm 37:4. Okay, so verse 1, David and Goliath, chapter 17 of 1 Samuel. Now the Philistines gathered their forces for war and assembled at Soko in Judah. They pitched the camp at Esbeth-Damon between Soko and Azekah. Saul and the Israelites assembled and camped in the valley of Elah and drew up their battle line to meet the Philistines. And the Philistines occupied one hill and the Israelites occupied another with a valley between them. And I never understood the greatness of that, because I don't know anything about warfare, except one time I was watching the movie Gettysburg, and the one commander who got to the place early, he's there, and then the general comes in and he turns to him, he goes, do we have good ground, sir? And the commander goes, we have very good ground, sir, because they want the higher ground. See, so both of these armies were wanting the higher ground, and there was a valley between them. And a champion named Goliath, who was from Gath, and I want to say right now, we're going to find out in this record who the true champion is, the true champion. In a few minutes. He was over 9 feet tall. Over 9 feet tall. He had a bronze helmet on his head, and he wore a coat of scale armor of bronze weighing 5,000 shekels. And my notes here in my Bible say that's about 125 pounds that he was wearing. On his legs he wore bronze greaves, and a bronze javelin was slung on his back. And his spear shaft was like a weaver's rod, and its iron point weighed 600 shekels, which here I have a note, 15 pounds. 15 pounds was his spear's head. Whoa, jeez. And his shield bearer went ahead of him. Now, the next verses 8 to 10, represent Goliath's challenge. Listen to this. Goliath stood and shouted to the ranks of Israel, Why do you come out and line up for battle? Am not I a Philistine, and are you not servants of Saul? Choose a man for you and have him come down to me. If he is able to fight and kill me, then we will be your servants. But if I overcome him and kill him, you will become our subjects and serve us. The Philistine said, this day I defy the ranks of Israel. Give me a man, then let us fight each other. And of course, all the men of Israel ran to jump in line to go fight Goliath. I don't think so. This is what happened. Verse 11. On hearing the Philistine words, Saul and all the Israelites were dismayed and terrified. King James says, greatly afraid. Greatly afraid. You know, and I thought about that. James, Jude, and Romans 8, you can read them. They say that we are not to be ruled by our five senses. Not to be ruled by our five senses. Seeing, hearing, tasting, smelling, and touching. We're not to be ruled by that. What we are to be ruled by is the Spirit of God that dwells within us. That is what we are to be ruled by. And we belong to God. We were bought with a price. It's all over the New Testament. So, upon hearing these words, Saul and all the Israelites were terrified and greatly afraid. Hearing these words, you know, there are times in our own lives when we want to accomplish something, when we want to be the person whose God has called us to be. Someone will say something to us that will deflate or defeat or cause us to think differently about what we want to accomplish. We have to let those thoughts go in one ear and out the other. We have to confess and speak and say what the Word says about us. More than a conqueror in every situation. Yes. More than a conqueror in every situation, born again of God's Spirit, joint heirs with Christ, seated in the heavenlies, neither death nor life nor angels nor principalities nor powers nor things present nor things to come nor life nor death nor any other creature shall be able to separate you from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Never allow yourself to be put into fear. God does not want you to be that way. Verse 12. Pardon? Romans 8. Verse 12. Now David was the son of an Arathathite named Jesse, who was from Bethlehem in Judah. Jesse had eight sons, and in Saul's time he was old and well advanced in years. Jesse's three oldest sons had followed Saul to the war. The firstborn was Eliab, the second Abinadab, and the third Shammah. David was the youngest. The three oldest followed Saul. Verse 15, but David went back and forth from Saul to tend his father's sheep at Bethlehem. Verse 16, for 40 days the Philistine came forward every morning and evening, twice a day, and took his stand. Now, we read his challenge, give me a man that we may fight together. The way that fear works, at least when I've had fear in my own life, is that it isn't something that you just fear, then what happens is you start thinking about it. And like, then a week later, you're like more stressed out than you were the previous week. Fear builds upon fear. That's the way fear works. And do you think that the children of Israel had any less fear after the second day? Then the 40th day, 9-foot-plus tall Goliath is coming down the mountain saying, hey, get somebody out here to fight me. If you win, you can take us over. Yeah, I can imagine they were greatly afraid, terrified. Verse 17, now Jesse, that's David's dad, said to his son David, take this ephah of roasted grain and these 10 loaves of bread for your brothers and hurry to their camp. Take along these 10 cheeses to the commander of their unit. See how your brothers are and bring back some assurance. And that's like some assurance would be like if they got a lock of their hair or something to let dad know that the boys are okay. Some assurance from them. They are with Saul and all the men of Israel in the valley of Elah fighting against the Philistines. Verse 20, early in the morning, David left the flock with a shepherd, loaded up and set out as Jesse had directed. He reached the camp as the army was going out to the battle position, shouting the war cry. Israel and the Philistines were drawing up their lines facing each other. David left his things with the keeper of supplies, ran to the battle lines, and greeted his brothers. And as he was talking with them, his brothers, Goliath, the Philistine champion from Gath, stepped out from his lines and shouted his usual defiance. And David heard it. His usual defiance. What usual defiance? Verses 8 to 10. You know, I'm a Philistine, aren't you, servants of Saul? Give me a man that we may fight together. Verse 24. When the Israelites, S-A-W, saw the man, they ran from him in great fear. S-A-W, saw, senses. They saw the man, bam, they ran in fear. We cannot run from our fears. I don't know what you want to do. Do you want to be a doctor? Do you want to be a mother and raise a family? Do you want to get married? Do you want to go to medical school? Do you want to become a camp counselor? I don't know what it is that you want to do with your life or what you want to become. But I do know this. God wants to see you have that desire and reach it. And we're not too old. I mean, I'm over 50 years old, and I was thinking about it the other day. I'm never going to say I'm too old to do anything that I want to do. I'm planning on going back to school in the future. I have some other commitments right now that keep me pretty busy. But we cannot let our minds be convinced and think that way. That is not the way that God wants us to think. God wants us to be all that we can be. Verse 25. Now the Israelites had been saying, do you see, senses, do you see how this man keeps coming out? He comes out to defy Israel. The king will give him great wealth to the man who kills him. The king's going to give away a lot here. Great wealth. He will also give him his daughter in marriage and will exempt his father's family from taxes in Israel. Saul is adding to the pool of motivation to get somebody to go out there and fight Goliath. And yet this is a big deal. He's going to give his daughter? I mean, wow. She was beautiful too. At least that's what the Bible says. He will also give him his daughter in marriage and will exempt his father's family from taxes in Israel. Verse 26, David asked the men standing near him, what shall be done to this man? What shall be done for the man who kills this Philistine and removes this disgrace from Israel? Am I hearing you correctly? What shall be done? For, well, King James says for who, but this says, NIV says, who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living God? Who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living God? David is 17 or 18 years old here. And in this whole record of where we've read from verse 1 to here, nobody has put the battle in the proper perspective until right now. David puts the battle in the proper perspective. Who is this uncircumcised Philistine? He should defy the armies of the living God. That's right. And that is how we have to think in this day and time. We have so much power if we would only walk out and apply it. I get so upset with myself at times in my life because I read things in the New Testament that God says that I can do and that I should be able to do. And I ask myself, why am I not doing it? Well, I got to get out there and make an attempt to do it. I just don't do it. If I went out and attempted to do it, the more times that I did it, the better I would be at doing it, and then I'd see some of the results that I'd like to see happen. Verse 27, they repeated to him what they had been saying and told him, this is what will be done for the man who kills him. Now, I doubt very much if it was something like, well, yeah, this will be done. I can just see him. Somebody's interested in fighting Goliath. So shall it be done to the man that kills him. So shall it be done. Yeah, so, yeah, get out there. Go fight him. Verse 28, when Eliab, David's oldest brother, heard him speaking with the men, he burned with anger at him and asked, why have you come down here and with whom did you leave those few sheep in the desert? I know how conceited you are and how wicked your heart is. You come down only to watch the battle. And then David said, now what have I done? I cannot even speak. He turned away from his, he just ignored his brother. That's what he should have done. And brought up the same matter, and the men answered him before. What David said was overheard and reported to Saul, and Saul sent for him. I bet he sent for him. 40 days. Verse 32, David said to Saul, let no one lose heart on account of this Philistine. Your servant will go and fight him. And Saul replied, you're not able to go out and fight against this Philistine and fight him. You're only a boy, and he has been fighting a fighting man from his youth. Again, Saul, looking at David, walking by his senses, not walking by the Spirit. He's looking at David saying, oh, there's no way you can do this. See, we can't do that to the fears and challenges in our life. We can't take the attitude that it's only me. I used to do that when I was young. Oh, it's just me. What can I do? Only me. Poor old me. Not anymore. We have God in Christ in us. We don't have to be that way anymore in our minds. We don't have to think that way. We have not been called by God to think that way. God wants us to stand out, confess what His Word says, walk out on it, and claim the things that God has already given to us. And if you take some time and you read the epistles, you will find out that we have been given a lot. Verse 34, David said to Saul, your servant has been keeping his father's sheep. When a lion or a bear came and carried off a sheep from the flock, I went after it, struck it, and rescued the sheep from its mouth. When it turned on me, I seized it by its hair, struck it, and killed it. Your servant has killed, listen to David's confession here. Your servant has killed both the lion and the bear. This uncircumcised Philistine will be as one of them because he has defied the armies of the living God. Second time in this record, David puts the battle in the proper perspective. And you know what? Every one of us, Romans 10:9, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth, Jesus is the Lord, and believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved, born again of God's Spirit. Each one of us has the Spirit of God in us. We have power. 1 John 4:4, ye are of God, little children, have overcome them. Greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. We do not have to settle for second best regarding anything in this life. Verse 37, the Lord... Listen to this. This is great. The Lord who delivered me from the paw of the lion. Remember who does the delivering? Psalm 34, 4. I sought the Lord and he heard me and delivered me from all my fears. Look at David's confession. 17, 18-year-old boy. Listen to his confession. The Lord who delivered me from the paw of the lion and the paw of the bear will deliver me from the hand of this Philistine. Wow. David said to Saul, go. Go and the Lord be with you. Well, what could he say? Go and the Lord be with you. Then Saul dressed David in his own tunic and he put a coat of armor on him and a bronze helmet on his head. And David fastened on his sword over the tunic and tried walking around because he was not used to them. And David said, I can't go in these, because they were weighting him down. He wasn't used to them. He said, Saul, I'm not used to these. So he took them off and then he took his staff in his hand, chose 5 smooth stones from the stream, put them in a pouch of his shepherd's bag, and with a sling in his hand, approached the Philistine. All right, the battle's going to get hot here. We're getting close to closing it out. Closing out my sharing here, too. Meanwhile, the Philistine, with his shield bearer in front of him, kept coming closer to David. He looked David over and saw that he was only a boy, ruddy and handsome, and he despised him. And he said to David, am I a dog that thou comest to me with sticks? And the Philistine cursed David by his gods. Verse 44. Come here, he said. This is what Goliath is saying to David. Come here, and I'll give your flesh to the birds of the air and to the beasts of the field. Goliath's trying to put David in fear. Let's listen to David's response. David said to the Philistine, you come against me with a sword and a spear and a javelin, but I come against you in the name of the Lord Almighty, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defied. Third time, David puts the battle in the proper perspective. Look, you're not fighting against me. You're fighting against the armies of the living God. Well, we as Christians belong to God. This day, listen to this, this day the Lord will hand you over to me and I'll strike you down and cut off your head. Today, David's adding more. Today, I will give the carcasses of the Philistine army to the birds of the air and the beasts of the earth, and the whole world will know there is a God in Israel. Goliath said to David, David, I'm going to come and I'm getting you. And David turned right around and said to Goliath, he said, Goliath, I'm not only getting you, I'm getting your whole army. That's right. That's what David's confession was. That is how David reacted to the fear that Goliath tried to put into him. All he had to do was bring back to his mind that it is God. God is on his side and God will help him be victorious. Listen to the rest of this. And all those gathered here will know that it is not the sword or the spear that the Lord saves. For the battle is of the Lord's, and he will give you into our hands. The battle is of the Lord's. The battle is the Lord's. The battle is the Lord's. We have to remember that. The battle is the Lord's. Never, never compare you to the situation and say, oh, it's just me. It's not just you. You and God make a majority in every situation. 2 Corinthians 2:14 says, now thanks be unto God, which always causes us to triumph in Christ. Praise God. Always, always. All right, here's the end of the battle here. The battle is the Lord's, and he will give you into our hands. Verse 48, as the Philistine moved closer to attack him, David ran quickly toward the battle line to meet him. Check out this mind picture. Here is David. Here's the man that bare the shield. Here's Goliath. And here's the whole Philistine army. And David is running. Now, how's that for overcoming fear? How's that for having confidence in God? Whoa. Whoa. That's pretty powerful. So, here it is. David ran quickly toward the battle line to meet him, reaching into his bag and taking out the stone. He slung it and struck the Philistine on the forehead. The stone sank into his forehead, and he fell face down on the ground. So David triumphed over the Philistine with a sling and a stone. Without a sword in his hand, he struck down the Philistine and killed him. And the first part of that verse says, so David triumphed. We will triumph. We will triumph. Put your name in there. You will triumph. Jonathan, you will triumph. You can put your name in there. You will triumph. So he stood over the Philistine, and when the Philistine saw their hero was dead, they turned and ran. I bet they did. Can't you just see those Philistine guys running around? Don't let that kid near me. you know, I'd like to say that Goliath was not the champion in this situation. David was the champion. And we can be champions in life when we put our trust in God, which means also trusting in his word, because it's God's word. God authored his word. Psalm 138 verse 2 says that God magnified his word above his name. He magnified his word above his name. We can trust what God says in his word, in being successful in anything we want to do in life. Second, we have to recognize fear does not come from God. 2 Timothy 1:7. God doesn't want us to be timid. He doesn't want us to have fear. He wants us to go out and claim the things he's given to us. He wants us to be what we want to become. He is on our side. Third, we don't want to be motivated by the words that people speak to defeat us in our minds and to hold us back from doing what we want to do. Just because you go in there and they go, well, you know, yeah. If you want to do this, you got to do this, you got to do this, you got to do this, you got. So what? So does everybody else. Don't let the world defeat you in your mind from achieving what you want to become. You're never too old. Do not be ruled by the five senses. Heck, the Bible says in Hebrews that some of us have entertained angels unawares, meaning that we've come across angels and we couldn't tell the difference if the angels were, they certainly didn't have wings in those situations, I guarantee it. That's in Hebrews 11:3. We have the victory. We need to claim it and put every situation in its proper spiritual perspective. It's you and God. You and God make a majority. And never run away from trying to achieve what you want to become. Face it, dominate it, conquer it. Believe that God will deliver you because he will. Psalm 34:4, I sought the Lord and he heard me and delivered me from all my fears. You truly can be all that you can be.
God resurrected Christ, his son resurrected. God resurrected Christ, his son
resurrected.
God resurrected Christ, his son resurrected. God resurrected Christ, his son.
Because God resurrected Christ, his son.
His son. You can be the person you want to be. So full of joy and life more abundantly. Walking, talking with the Father, living as one. With your brothers and sisters on God's creation. Because God resurrected Christ, his son. Because God resurrected
And if it sets you free, oh, free indeed. Come on, join in and sing with me. Christ has set you free. Come on, sing with me. Gonna tell you how salvation was done. Gonna tell you when the victory was won. Gonna tell you where to find the chosen one. Gonna tell you why I speak in tongues. Because God resurrected Christ his son. Because God resurrected Christ his son. Because God.